Hello and welcome to the Ice Guys. This is the show that takes you into the world of the National Hockey League. Every game, every day, from a betting perspective. With pro sports handicappers, Ian Cameron, Alex B. Smith, and various guests from the world of hockey and sports betting. And now, here's your host, Ian Cameron.
Welcome to the Ice Guys. Presented by Boston Hemp Inc., Sunday, May 26th. Ian Cameron with you on this Sunday, ready for early start matinee affair for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final with the New York Rangers and the Florida Panthers as the scene shifts down to Sunrise, Florida, the suburbs of Miami for Game 3 this afternoon with that series all tied up at 1. Alex B. Smith has got his legs bothering him a little bit today, so he'll be in the chat only. We are looking forward to an afternoon affair in the NHL. We bend over backwards for this damn ESPN, don't we? I mean, we've got every game on primetime in these Stanley Cup play in this round in particular. But guess what? Today, ESPN has siphoned off this game between the Rangers and the Panthers to ABC. And ABC apparently is allergic to putting on sports on primetime on a Sunday night. And this isn't just an NHL thing. So before you start saying, oh, here's ESPN screwing the NHL again, we got to watch on an afternoon on a holiday weekend this Rangers-Panthers game. They do this shit to the NBA, too. There's never an NBA game on a Sunday night in primetime on ABC. They always force the NBA to have their game at 1 Eastern or 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the afternoon. So whatever we have to do for almighty ABC, we'll do it. So I'm a little bit, as you can tell, a little bit upset that it's an afternoon game. I mean, this is the conference finals, goddammit. Have the game at night. You know, that's exactly what it should be. But here we are, 3 p.m. Eastern, Rangers and Panthers for ABC purposes with Game 3 this afternoon in the Eastern Conference Final. Before we get to that, we will look back at Game 2 in the West last night, and it was a bounce-back win for the Dallas Stars, getting the job done against the Edmonton Oilers 3-1. Pretty rough first period, though, for Dallas. That was kind of jarring when I when watching that first period unfold, just, you know, how well Edmonton played for the opening 20 minutes. Very aggressive, you know, whether it was Evan Bouchard and Matias Ekholm or Cody Ceci or anyone on that blue line. They were really, you know, doing a good job coming down the boards in the offensive zone, keeping plays alive, and really, really hemming Dallas in for extended stretches in that first period. Of course, it started with those quick exchanges of goals in the early going, including the captain of the Dallas Stars, Jamie Benn. And I don't think we could have been more outspoken than we were on the show yesterday. Me, Alex, I think a lot of the viewers in the chat felt that they agreed with the sentiment regarding Jamie Benn that, look, he's the captain. I don't think it was his best game necessarily in game one. He would step up, rise to the forefront, have a big game with his team looking to avoid a 2-0 deficit, and basically got them going right away with the first goal of the hockey game. And then you look at the fact that it was, you know, not the greatest goal for Skinner to give up, but who cares? Jamie Benn gets Dallas going, 1-0. They get the early lead. Did not last long, though, because Connor Brown answered much later, right after essentially that Jamie Benn goal to tie it up 1-1. But we get Jamie Benn as the bargain bin special of the night for both me and Alex. This was a dual bargain bin special winner. I used it for my bargain bin. So did Alex. Jamie Benn plus 380 to score a goal in that game last night. So that was great to see that. And Alex took it one step further and had him to score the first goal. And you could have gotten that upwards of plus 2,200. On that. So outstanding stuff to see that come through. And then, of course, Edmonton ties it right back 1-1. I was so flustered and disappointed in the rebound control or the lack of it Jake Ottinger showed on that Connor Brown goal. Should have could be able to control that better, but not much to complain about regarding Jake Ottinger after that. He was absolutely tremendous, made up for that moment and then some with his play in the rest of the last two periods of the game, outstanding. And you know what I love, too, about last night's game is, look, after a bad first period, whether it was Peter DeBoer or someone in the Stars dressing room, Ben, one of the leaders, you know, Duchesne, One of the veterans, who knows who it could have been. But it was a different Dallas team after that second period. You could tell they were getting to their game, and they were starting to really, you know, hold Edmonton in their own zone with waves of attack in the offensive zone, which is what you wanted to see. And then, of course, it was 1-1 for a while, well into the third. And then, of course, finally a breakthrough from Dallas. Suter with the point shot. Wonderful deflection in front by Mason Marchment. Completely changes the direction of the shot. And they showed the slow-mo replay of that goal multiple times. And there's no doubt that puck was going wide, if not for Mason Marchment getting the stick on it and redirecting it past Stuart Skinner. So it was a great deflection, gave Dallas a 2-1 lead. And then it was just, you know, Dallas, do what you're capable of doing from that point on. You know, don't give up any odd man rushes. Don't give up any, you know, outnumbered situations in the offensive zone. Keep everything to the outside. And if there is a breakdown, we've got what we feel is one of the better goalies in the league to bail us out if need be. And you put that formula together, and Dallas was able, I thought, to defend quite well in the third period, holding that 2-1 lead. And I've got to commend two defensemen for Dallas in particular. Number one, Chris Tanev. I know for a fact that even without speaking to him or knowing the ins and outs of what happened after game one, I know for a fact with the way this man plays with great pride and great determination defensively, I know for a fact how he probably felt after game one, Chris Tanev, because it was he and Esa Lindell, that defensive pair that was out there on the ice at the beginning of double overtime in game one when, you know, they got caught up in where the puck was along the boards and they lost coverage of number 97 of all people, Connor McDavid, in front of the net. Evan Bouchard found him with a beautiful pass. It was a great play by Bouchard to just see McDavid out of the corner of his eye, get that puck to him quickly, quick redirection past Ottinger, no chance for Ottinger. And look, at that moment, it was a very rare misstep for that pairing, especially for a guy like Tanev, who's been just so awesome in the playoffs. And, you know, to be scored on, doesn't matter how it goes in, you're on the ice for the game-winning goal in double overtime. You're not happy. And Chris Tanev, folks, last night, I'll tell you this right now, Chris Tanev last night played like a man that was not fucking happy about the way game one ended. His play last night, I can't say enough, his play last night, he was out there pretty much almost every time, and that's credit to Pete DeBoer using home ice to his advantage, making sure Tanev and Lindell, that pair in particular, is out there on the ice every time number 97 jumps over the boards. So that's good job by DeBoer ensuring that. But every time Connor McDavid was on the ice and looking to generate that speed through the neutral zone, yeah, Tanev would allow him to have that speed through the neutral zone. But once he crossed the blue line, it was like, flies on shit when it came to Tanev. He was all over McDavid. There was no time and space. He would rail him into the end boards or push him to the wall, push him to the outside, keep him from getting that pathway to the front of the net. And he did this pretty much all fucking night whenever he was out there on the ice with Connor McDavid. It was a human eraser, which is the term that I have often used to describe Chris Tanev. That is what he was last night on Connor McDavid. He was an absolute human eraser. He erases plays. He erases key players, top players, with his defensive play, and he shuts them down. That's exactly what he did last night. It was an outstanding performance. And what a response, considering, you know, the rare time that you see him, you know, on the ice for what was the overtime, double overtime winner in game one. So, you know, absolutely incredible, the job he did. And also, even though he was against the second line, which had Draisaitl on it, the defensive job Miro Heiskanen did as well, just exemplary last night. The shot block that has been shown multiple times during the game last night that he had on Bouchard. I mean, just his defensive play was absolutely awesome as well last night. And, you know, the way they deploy these top two defensive pairs for Dallas, I like how they've got it. They've got a free skating, more, you know, rush-driven, puck-moving defenseman like Thomas Harley playing with Miro Heiskanen, who can also play that way, but he's also tremendous defensively, and he showed it last night. And then, of course, you've got Tanev, you know, with Lindell, with Esa Lindell, who are both, you know, great defensively. And I think Lindell was pretty good defensively. I think playing with Tanev's even made him better, to be quite honest. But I can't say enough, especially about Tanev. I really can't. Like every time, it felt like I watched 8-9 shifts last night with Tanev versus McDavid when McDavid's line was out on the ice with Hyman and Nugent Hopkins, and then Tanev and Lindell were out against them. And there's Tanev running McDavid right out of the slot, running McDavid right out of the play, running McDavid right to the boards and killing the play. He did this like several times throughout the hockey game last night. So props to Chris Tanev for just an absolutely tremendous defensive job, smothering wet blanket last night over Connor McDavid. And then, of course, speaking of Lindell, gets the empty net goal to put it away in a 3-1 Dallas win. Ended up being a pretty good betting game overall for me. You know, we had the bargain bin special. I had Dallas to score in the first period. I lost the puck line. That was kind of frustrating. It was a great price, +178, but I did have Dallas money line. I pushed on the team total. I was hoping for that fourth goal, and maybe we get a second empty netter there. It didn't happen, but we got a push with the best bet, which was Dallas team total, as they get just the three goals last night. But yeah, absolutely no question. Dallas, bounce back effort from them. And, you know, Hockey Night in Canada too, I want to point out, Rick Bonus, by the way, can't say enough about the great job he did on the panel. That panel sometimes can get a little stale because it's always Ron McLean and BX is great, but it's the same group all the time. And, you know, sometimes it can get a little, let's get something going here. Let's get a new face, a new voice in there, freshen things up a little bit. And Rick Bonus did that to the panel the last three nights he was on there with BX and McLean and Kelly Rudy and Elliot Friedman. And yeah, he was really good. Like to the point where he should think about being on television full time next season now that he's retired from coaching. Like he'd be really good at it. He was really good. You could tell he knew Dallas a lot because of coaching there for several years and knowing a lot of the players that are still there on Dallas back when he coached them. Remember, he led them to the cup final the pandemic year 2020. So the insight he brought for Dallas, you can tell he knew a lot of those players. So it was good to hear him. TNT panel, of course, is always awesome. We know that. There's no question. So, but that was cool to see him. But the one thing I got to take or criticize with Sportsnet is someone on their panel, I think, I'm trying to think who it was, but said, you know, if you're Edmonton, you got what you wanted, a split, you know, going back home now where you can take control of the series and win two straight home games and take control now because you got home ice in your favor. Apparently you don't know you're facing like maybe the best road team in the NHL or one of the best road teams in the NHL. It's actually done their best work in the Stanley Cup playoffs on the road. I mean, that's one guy on Sportsnet last night. I mean, he's acting like, you know, we're going back to Edmonton. It's going to be two straight wins for Edmonton here on home ice. Could it happen? Sure, it could happen. But I mean, we are talking about one heck of a road team here, guys. So they haven't lost many on the road this year, this Dallas Stars team. You do know that, right? You do know that? Okay. All right. Just making sure. Yeah, so a great job by the Dallas Stars. I know there was that a lot of people talking about Chris Knobloch's comments after the game that he says he wished the standard would be the same in the playoffs as it was in the regular season. Feels like the fact that, you know, Edmonton's gotten hardly any power plays here in the first two games is something that, you know, he was very calm and very composed expressing it. But at the same time, you know, someone's got to show Chris Knobloch and the Oilers the number of penalties that the Dallas Stars have taken all season, and especially here in the playoffs. They don't take many penalties. They're very disciplined. So the lack of power play opportunities that the Edmonton Oilers have had in the first two games, I don't think it's so much that the Oilers are the victims of a unfair whistle. I think the Oilers are just victims of a team that is not giving them power play chances and refusing to give them power play chances because they are a very disciplined hockey team and they've been that way all season. That's what I think this boils down to. This is not to do, I think, with, you know, the referees are missing calls left and right on Dallas. Dallas doesn't put themselves in position very often to, you know, be in the penalty box you know, for a long period of time during each game. So that's what it is. And the numbers bear it out. You know, you can go and look. Dallas does not take many penalties. They don't. It's been that way all season long. So I think this is misguided, misplaced frustration right now with the Edmonton Oilers. You got to do a better job drawing penalties, you know, if you're the Edmonton Oilers. And that's easier said than done against this Dallas Stars team. And the numbers back it up. You can go look at any stat known to man about penalty minutes on a team-by-team basis this season in the NHL. And all of them are going to add up to Dallas being one of the least penalized teams in the NHL this season and in these playoffs. So that's definitely something that is, I think, the bigger part of why Edmonton's not getting a lot of power plays here so far in this series than anything else. But Dallas gets the win 3-1, and we will see the series shift back to Edmonton for a Memorial Day Monday night matchup between the Stars and Oilers on Monday night for Game 3 of that series. All right, let's turn our attention to today and our one and only game, a Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific start time here for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final, because we bow down to ABC. What ABC wants, ABC gets. To hell with the fact that there's no primetime hockey game tonight. ABC has got the game, and by gosh, they want it at 3 in the afternoon Eastern time, and we all have to deal with it, apparently. Rangers and Panthers. We've got Florida -160, home favorites, 5.5 the total here in this game, with the series tied at one game apiece. I think when you look at this Rangers and Panthers series, it's certainly got the making of a back and forth type of series. It does. And the credit to the Rangers. And we talked about how it felt like game two on Friday night was kind of a response game from them. Nobody should have liked the way things went in game one for the Rangers on Friday night. I thought, or game one on Wednesday night, I should say. You know, they definitely got outplayed. There was definitely a lack of physical punch from the New York Rangers in that loss. You know, I don't think they were very crisp with the puck. Their offensive playmaking was off. Everything was off. Their passing was off. They weren't finishing around the net the chances they did get. You could tell it was just not a great game one from the Rangers. They stepped it up big time, I thought, in game two. You know, Florida didn't play bad in game two, obviously. You're talking about a 1-1 game that was decided in overtime with a Barclay Goodrow overtime winner to give the New York Rangers the win. But at the end of the day, the Rangers definitely stepped their game up tenfold. Now you would expect the Florida Panthers to do the same here tonight, this afternoon in game three. A Florida Panthers team that has not lost two straight games in these playoffs to this point. That's significant. This has always been a pretty good response team following, you know, a rare setback. They lose to Tampa Bay in the first round, 6-3, follow it up and win 6-1. They lose to Boston, 5-1 in game one of the second round. They follow it up. They win 6-1. They lose game five to Boston at home, and then they go to Boston for that game six with a chance to end the series, and they do just that with a 2-1 win. So this has been a Florida team that has responded every game to a bad one. I would kind of expect more of the same here. I definitely like the Panthers to get to score the first goal. This is an angle we've talked about quite a bit here in these playoffs. It's been a good angle. It's the losing team of the previous game scoring a goal early. I was on that with Dallas last night. Now, you had to lay a little juice with it, a little bit of a price on it. But sometimes the price is worth laying if you think you've got a high percentage positive expectation bet on your hands. And I think that's kind of what we have here with this. So, you know, the going back home, you know, rely on the crowd to pull you through. It's -155, by the way, with Florida to score in the first period. I do like that. I agree with Dave in the chat about Shesterkin over saves. Florida, I think, is going to be, this is one of those games where I think the Rangers are going to, they're going to have one of those games, I think, where they give up, you know, 35, 40 shots. Florida, as well, as a very, for the most part, they are a very high, high volume shot team on home ice. You go back to the last four home games, the 29 they had against Boston in game five was not a very good game for them. You know, let's be real. They did not play well against Boston in game five at home. You know, there was a noticeable malaise with the way the Panthers played that day. But before that, you look at the three previous playoff home games for Florida. The final one against Tampa, the first two against Boston, 39-39-33 were the shots on goal for the Florida Panthers. So you would think that Florida is going to be firing a lot of rubber at Igor Shesterkin. Awful loss at home. They've been a high-volume shooting team, a high-volume shots on goal team all season at home, this Florida Panthers team. So that is definitely something I'm going to rock with here. I'm throwing a curveball at everybody here with look, is every fucking game in this series going to go under the total? And I liked low-scoring game in game two. I did. I liked it in the – I was on the SGP with Panthers plus 2.5, Rangers plus 2.5, under 6.5 in game two. Easy winner, and that was my best bet on the show. No complaints at all. But is every game going to go under? I'm going to make a case that today – we see this game go over the total, and here's why. These two teams are off. Game two, overtime game. Defense had to play a shit ton of minutes in that game. I'm looking at the numbers right now. 31 minutes for Gus Forsling for Florida. That's a shit ton of minutes. 29:51 for Ekblad. 26 minutes for Brandon Montour. You know, that's a lot of minutes in that overtime game for the Panthers on defense. Ryan Lindgren, 24 minutes from him, 23 from Keandre Miller, 29 minutes from Adam Fox, 26 minutes from Jacob Trouba. When you get into that 25-30-minute range for defense, that's a heavy workload. That's a taxing workload because these are high-pressure, intense minutes where you know you've got to be on your toes and on point for the most part defensively. That's concerning. And you know what makes this worse for all these defensemen on both sides that have logged these 25 to 30 minute performances in game two on Friday night? You don't even have your full allotment of 48 hours to turn around and refresh and replenish for game three because of the fact we've got to fucking bow down to ABC and that nonsense. You got to play an afternoon game here now all of a sudden in this one. So that's my approach here, and I've seen this play out too in the playoffs, where we have two games in the beginning of the series in one venue that stay under, and then you flip venues, and especially if you've got any sort of change in the routine as well, when you're changing venues from game two to game three in a playoff series. You're changing routine because you're in a new venue. It's not just a new venue, but you're changing the routine and your prep. All of a sudden, you're all of a sudden playing an afternoon game, not a night game. And you've got less downtime, less, like I said, time to get yourself right physically following that game because you go from a Friday night to an early Sunday afternoon. I think this is that if there's going to be a game in this series that has goals in it, maybe it's just, you look, it's Shesterkin and Bobrovsky. It's two guys playing at the height of their game right now. And we're just destined for 2-1, 3-1, 3-2 hockey this whole series. Maybe that's the case. Maybe it is. But for one game this afternoon, I'm going to bet against that being the case. I think there's situationals in play that some people might be sleeping on. The overtime game, the expanded minutes, and the heavy taxing workload that a lot of the defense had to deal with on both sides. And now you're turning around to play a Sunday afternoon game. I could see the sloppiness being there. And for as great as these goaltenders are, you're going to be haphazard and sloppy with the puck, and you're going to turn it over in places where, the, you know, that are going to create high danger for the opponent. There's going to be opportunities for both of these teams to cash in on those, even as great as the goaltending is. So I am going to go over bifecta here this afternoon, over 1.5 first period, over 5.5 full game. And I'll say this right now. If we don't get the over bifecta here, and let's say it's under in the first period, under in the full game, and it's another low scoring contest here in game three, if that is indeed the case, may not bet another over the rest of the series. I may not. But what I am also doing, knowing fully aware that this little strategy and this little thought process I have in my mind about how the game flow might be this afternoon, that it may not play out the way I expect or think it will, I'm also going to still go in on that SGP that I cashed with in game two, just as a small little insurance policy. It's a small bet with the SGP, but I will get back on it with Rangers plus 2.5, Panthers plus 2.5, under 6.5, which again, you can still get at a pretty good price here for game three. Let me just put that together on BetMGM because I find that's where the best prices have been. So Rangers plus 2.5, Panthers plus 2.5, under 6.5, minus 105 at BetMGM. Good price. Good price with that. So there we go. I'm small on that, but I am bigger on the over bifecta. I feel this is the spot, theoretically, conceptually, ideologically, that if there's going to be a series where there's an explosion on the scoreboard and there's goals left and right, this is going to be the game for me right now. So that is definitely what I am going to be looking at here, is over 1.5 first period, over 5.5 full game, not to mention this full game total, which it's now 5.5. And we're at a point now where I'm seeing it look around plus 115 here with game three with this price. Actually, you know what? Plus 122 at Caesars for over 5.5 in this game. Like, we are getting ourselves quite the nice plus price return on that for a game three this afternoon. So like I said, I've got my reasons. And don't forget that even though back-to-back unders to begin this Eastern Conference final in the first two games of this series, don't forget these two teams played 19 straight games head-to-head with at least six goals. So the over 5.5 would have cashed in 19 straight head-to-head games between these two teams prior to game one. Now, this is the playoffs. I get it. Defensive intensity ratchets up. I get it. The two goalies are both on their games right now, Bob and Shesterkin. I get it. But there's reasons to like some more goals going in today. There's reasons. And the reasons I stated make sense to me. Like, it's one thing to have a crackpot theory. This is not that, in my opinion. This is two teams that expended a lot of energy in a high-intensity, high-pressure game two that went into overtime and didn't just go in a couple minutes into overtime. It went halfway through the first overtime before it ended. And again, 25 to 30 minutes for pretty much all the key defenders, all the key blue liners, all the key defensemen on both sides, Trouba, Fox, Lindgren, Forsling for Florida, Montour, Ekblad. I mean, you're talking about big, high minutes for all these defensemen in game two. And I think that might show up, that wear and tear. So let's see if I'm right. If I'm wrong tomorrow, I'll admit it. But if I'm right tomorrow, I'll be reveling in it. You better believe it. All right. As far as the as far as the side goes, it's Florida or nothing. I just don't like the price. Minus 160 is what we're seeing here. As far as Florida, I don't love that price. I don't love laying a minus 160 against the Rangers right now or a goalie like Shesterkin. I just don't. So I might get creative here. Maybe a little Florida puck line in the first period. I could maybe talk myself into that. It's plus 185 at Caesars, that first period puck line on Florida. That's a really good price on that. So I might dabble in that a little bit because I do think they'll have a strong start back on home ice. If you trust it, you could do Florida in regulation, but I just know it's probably going to be a very tight competitive game once again, because that's, I think, the way the series is going to go. So, you know, the only thing I would look at maybe if you're interested in Florida is Florida in regulation or the first period puck line. But I like the first period puck line just because I can get plus 185 on it at Caesars. Very good price with that. Now, as far as props go for Panthers and Rangers this afternoon, I think Vladimir Tarasenko, I think this is a guy that, you know, I think he's got to step his game up a little bit for the Panthers. We'll see if he can do that. He only had one shot on goal in the first two games, but if you look at his history in the playoffs, he's been a little bit more noticeable and impactful on home ice. You know, shot volume goes up a little bit as well for Tarasenko on home ice. So this could be a game, in my opinion, where we see a little bit more punch from Tarasenko playing on the top line with the captain Alexander Barkov, and Sammy Reinhart. So Tarasenko, as far as props are concerned, I do have some interest there with that. Bennett for Florida playing with Rodriguez and E2 Coolmint Lusterinen. Verhage and Kachuk, who we seem to talk about quite a bit for Florida. I think those two guys, especially in a spot like this off a loss, expect good efforts from both of them. For the New York Rangers, I'm going right back to Filip Hedl. Even though he did not score for us, I used him as my bargain bin special Friday night in game two. I'll tell you this, he had chances, though. I think he hit the post one time as well. I thought he played a heck of a game, Filip Hedl. Easily could have had at least a goal, maybe even two in that game. He had three shots on goal. Like I said, one of those shots didn't even register because he rang it off the pipe. So definitely Filip Hedl. If he stays in that top line spot for the Rangers with Mika Zibanejad and Chris Kreider, which I believe he will, there's no reason not to come back with Filip Hedl today. Panarin, Trocheck, you know, he got obviously the Rangers' first goal in game two. He's that important to the Rangers. Again, we've talked about this all series. He's also playing another of his former teams, just like in the first and the second round, I should say, against Carolina. This is another former Vincent Trocheck team, Florida. So definitely interested in Trocheck one more time as well. We'll see what the fourth line looks like because Jimmy Vesey's out for the Rangers. Rempe, Goudreau, and Kako is currently looking like it could be the fourth line, but I'm hearing whispers Kako might be scratched. And the one change that Peter Laviolette might make, even though you don't normally like to change a winning lineup, and of course the Rangers winning game two, normally you wouldn't see a coach change it up, but I know they are thinking of inserting either Johnny Brodzinski, Adam Edstrom, or maybe the veteran Blake Wheeler into the lineup on that fourth line with Goudreau and Rempe. Here this afternoon. Rempe's definitely going to play again. There's no question. The record with him is great. They put him in game two, and they win. Now, did he do a ton to help them win in terms of offense? No, but, I mean, the hits that he throws out there and the energy he brought in the building alone, I think went a long way to help the Rangers. It did. So, like I said, I think there could be that one change that we have in the lineup for the Rangers is that Kako might be scratched. I think the time has come for Kaapo Kakko to just, you know what, go up to the press box, get your bag of popcorn, have a seat, watch things unfold, and figure it out, because he just hasn't been that impactful at all for the New York Rangers of late. So I wouldn't be surprised if Laviolette makes that change, that Kako gets pushed out of the lineup and he'll go with either Edstrom, Brodzinski, or Wheeler on that fourth line this afternoon. And of course, the defense pair will remain the same: Lindgren, Fox, Miller, Trouba, Gustafson, Schneider, and the same thing on the Florida side as well. And like I said, we'll see how it goes, but I'm going to bang my fist on this table right now and say, this is the spot for goals today with the Rangers and the Panthers. And we will see if I am right. We'll see if I'm right. All right, great stuff. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. Matty Robinson, I see you in the chat, my friend. I hope you had a hell of a time in Dallas. I know you must have enjoyed being at that game last night. I know you were saying that the atmosphere at the AAC last night was electric. Obviously, Dallas gets the win. I'm sorry for your Ryan. I apologize that I hate to say I was right, but I said, Matt's going to see the win for the Dallas Stars. You're not. Unfortunately, that's the way it played out. Dallas lost another game one, shocker. Ryan Robinson was in the building for that one. But game two with Matt there, I said, they'll bounce back. They'll win game two. And that's exactly what happened. But hope you both enjoyed the time in Dallas. Landon, yeah, Landon's a legend, man. I said, Ice Guys family member legend. Landon there with the little dance number he gave us when he was at the game the other night. So, yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Landon, one of our absolute favorites as well. Shout out to John Massey, too, as well. I know he'll be very anxiously awaiting game three this afternoon with his New York Rangers. I said after game two, after they won in overtime, somewhere John Massey is smiling with this big-time Rangers overtime win. But then I thought about it for a second, like, actually, no. No, he's not. No, he's not. John Massey, one of our absolute favorites. I'm sure he's excited about the game, even though he probably wouldn't show it. All right, great stuff. Speaking of the Ice Guys family, the Ice Guys family is a big component in our betcasts, and we have two more betcasts coming up this week. There you see it. Tuesday, May 28th, Eastern Conference Final, Game 4, New York Rangers, Florida Panthers, back in primetime where it should be, 8 p.m. Eastern time. That betcast is Patreon exclusive for Rangers Panthers, Game 4 in the East on Tuesday night, and then we're right back at it Wednesday night, May 29th, Game 4 of the Western Conference Final, Dallas and Edmonton, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, and that betcast is free for all. So we're very much looking forward to that. Both of those betcasts coming up Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Tuesday for the East will be Patreon exclusive. Wednesday night for the West with Dallas and Edmonton will be free. Basically, the roles are reversed because last week, the free betcast was Rangers Panthers and Stars Oilers was Patreon. It's basically the reverse this time around. So looking forward to it Tuesday night, Wednesday night, back-to-back conference final, live betcasts, and a reminder, the Patreon one on Tuesday, the only way to get in on that, to watch it, and to join us is to sign up $10 per month, patreon.com/iceguys. Again, you'll get access to our Patreon exclusive live betcasts, goalie charts, totals charts, daily sides totals, and player props posted on the page each day. We've got lots of bonus content planned for Patreon members on the Patreon page as well. So make sure you sign up patreon.com/iceguys, just $10 per month. And last but not least, make sure you check out the Ice Guys store. Get your gear and your merch there each and every day. Over at the Ice Guys store, iceguys.myspreadshop.com. All right, a reminder. And by the way, I believe I'm just checking. Yes, this is the last day for free standard shipping at the Ice Guys store. So make sure you get your gear and your merch there today. Get in on that free standard shipping with your purchase. So again, free standard shipping one more day today, the last day for that. Make sure you check it out, iceguys.myspreadshop.com. All right, we got best bet and bargain bin special of the night coming up in just a moment, right after we hear from our great sponsor. All right, Boston Hemp Inc., make sure you check them out. Get 20% off all orders on the website using the promo code ICEGUYS at bostonhempinc.com. All right, bargain bin special of the night. Alex has dropped his bargain bin special of the night in the chat already. It was there on my screen for a moment ago. There we go. There it is for Alex B. Smith, who, of course, cashed his bargain bin special of the night with Jamie Benn, as did I. We were both on Jamie Benn for our bargain bin special of the night last night to score a goal at plus 380. Alex B. Smith going with, and look, Jamie Benn, Alex B. Smith had him first goal as well, plus 2200. He also had Jamie Benn to score and Dallas money line at like over plus 500 as well. So that game, he swept the board last night, Alex, with that game. So incredible stuff. Great job. Carter Verhaeghe, first goal, plus 1,000. 10-1, Carter Verhaeghe, first goal, Florida Panthers for Alex B. Smith with his bargain bin special of the night for Game 3. This actually is bargain bin special of the day, this afternoon because it's an afternoon game. My bargain bin special of the day, I guess you could say, I'm going to go Vladimir Tarasenko. He's playing with Barkov. He's playing with Reinhardt. Reinhardt's gone cold all of a sudden. Have you guys noticed that? I'm sure I'm definitely not the only one that's noticed, but Sam Reinhardt, he's still getting the chances. He's just not burying as many of them lately. Like, he's missed the net. He's had a couple posts. He's just, you know, the goaltenders made the saves. It's just the puck's not going in for Sam Reinhardt at the moment like it did, like it's done for him much of the season, and especially earlier in the playoffs. But I think that'll open the door for maybe Reinhardt's going to see, you know what, I don't have the hot stick at the moment. I'm feeling it at the moment. Puck's not going in for me at the moment. So maybe Barkov, who centers that line, maybe defers to Vladdy Tarasenko a little bit more here tonight in this game. But I think it's a good spot here for Tarasenko. I think he's been more noticeable on home ice. Again, better matchups for that line in particular on home ice as well. And I do think Vladimir Tarasenko can find one and get a goal here this afternoon. So Vladimir Tarasenko, Florida Panthers, plus 370 at FanDuel. That is going to be my bargain bin special of the night here for this bargain bin special of the day, I guess we should say, for this Sunday afternoon matchup. All right, best bet for me. Well, for Alex, it's first period over, which he cashed with in game two on Friday night, over 1.5. I think Matt Robinson also throwing it out there with the first period over. He likes it. My best bet, I'm going full game over, 5.5 plus 122. Look, I may not bet another over in this series if this one doesn't come through, but there's reasons to think we might see more goals here. Tired defense, Friday night to Sunday afternoon turnaround, less than 48 hours. I think we could see more sloppy play, a little bit more breakdowns defensively. So I'm going to trust in my theory when it comes to game three this afternoon that we will see finally a few more goals this afternoon between Rangers and the Panthers. So New York Rangers, Florida Panthers, over 5.5, plus 122 for my best bet. A smaller little security piece or insurance piece, if you will, on the SGP one more time as well, which is Rangers +2.5, Panthers +2.5, under 6.5, minus 105. My dream would be give me 4-2 somebody where it goes over the total for the best bet, and the SGP hits as well. And that's a clean sweep of the board for me in this game, at least when it comes to sides and totals. So that would be great. Although I shouldn't say that. I'm probably going to have a small piece of Florida first period puck line as well, just at that great price. But like I said, I think this is the game where we could see some more goals, and we'll go with that. Over 5.5, plus 122, Panthers-Rangers for my best bet here for game three. All right, great show. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Hit the like button. Don't forget BetCasts Tuesday night, Wednesday night for the game fours in the conference finals. One more time, there it is on screen. Tuesday night, Wednesday night, game four of both series in the conference finals. Make sure you join us. Patreon exclusive Tuesday for the East final game four, and free for all BetCast for the West final game four on Wednesday night. Looking forward to that. Reminder, the Ice Guys is live 7 days a week, Monday to Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday, noon Eastern. If you can't watch the show live, download the Ice Guys podcast in audio form on all major podcast platforms, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, and more. Download the Ice Guys podcast when you can't watch the show live. And make sure you also check it out on True TV Plus. You can download the True TV Plus app on Roku, Amazon, and all Apple devices. I'm Ian Cameron. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy the games and good luck. And we'll be back tomorrow on Monday for another edition of the Ice Guys.